It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Police have arrested the father of the 15-year-old girl who killed a fellow student, teacher, and injured six other people at Madison's Abundant Life Christian School late last year. Jeffrey Rupp now faces criminal charges, two felony counts of intent to sell or loan a dangerous weapon to someone under 18, and one felony count of contributing to the delinquency of a child. His first court appearance is scheduled for today. To get us up to speed on this case and what happens going forward, we're joined by John Gross, a clinical associate professor of law at the UW Law School and director of its Public Defender Project. John, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
What was your reaction yesterday to the arrest of Jeffrey Rupnow?
I can't say I was that surprised. I think when the incident, the tragic shooting at the school happened, there were questions about what role a parent might have played. And I think in looking at the potential charges that could have been filed, it's not particularly surprising to me that these two charges were eventually brought for the allowing the child, basically giving the child a weapon that they were not legally entitled to have, and then the contributing to the delinquency of a minor, which is the more serious charge because there was a death involved.
Yes. Can you explain that charge, contributing to the delinquency of a minor? What is the scope of that?
So essentially, the charge asks the question, did the minor commit some type of an act that would be considered criminal, what we would call a juvenile delinquency proceeding? If a minor does something like that, if a minor commits what would be considered a crime if they were an adult, this charge essentially asks, did another adult do something, contribute in some way to the child committing this other offense? And then the seriousness of that offense is graded based on the harm that the child inflicted. And if there was a relationship between the adult and the child where they had an obligation to keep the child safe, to make sure that they didn't inflict harm on someone, then this is the charge, contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
So step back for us. What, since late December, when this mass shooting happened, what have investigators and prosecutors learned about this father that led to his arrest early yesterday?
I think we will learn a little bit more about the investigation this afternoon when the father has his, Mr. Rupnow, when he has his initial appearance in court and they file the formal criminal complaint against him. Mm-hmm. I suspect that that complaint will detail the type of investigation and the investigative steps that police have taken over the last several months and lay out the prosecution's case against him. But it sounds like from what we know to this point that first it seems like he had purchased a firearm and given it to his daughter, which, again, if you're under the age of 18, you cannot possess a dangerous weapon in Wisconsin. And so giving her this type of a firearm is a criminal offense. And then we've heard that there was some fascination that she had with school shootings, mass shootings, and that some of that fascination may have been observable in terms of what she had in her room, the type of things she had on her walls. But, you know, it will be a bit of a challenge, I think, for the prosecution to perhaps connect the dots that the father knew about this fascination, because at least some of it was taking place online and may have just been something that her father didn't have access to or wasn't aware of.
In terms of access to the firearms, what effect could potential access to the gun safe code to unlock the safe have on this case?
I mean, I have to describe that as pretty irresponsible gun ownership. I mean, the point of having the gun safe, right, would be to prevent a minor, someone under the age of 18, from gaining access to firearms that the father was legally entitled to purchase and have in his home. So sharing that code with the daughter effectively negates the idea of having the gun safe at all. And, you know, Wisconsin, we do have a statute that criminalizes leaving a firearm within the easy reach of a child. However, that statute doesn't apply because in the definition of that statute, you have to actually be under the age of 14. But essentially, it's the same type of act. He's just indiscriminately allowing a child to have access to firearms that they have no legal right to possess.
We're talking about the recent arrest of Jeffrey Rupnow, the father of the 15-year-old girl who shot and killed two people at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison late last year. We have UW-Madison law professor John Gross with us. John, there's been another case like this where parents have been charged for providing a weapon to a child. Can you remind us of the case in Michigan and what the outcome there was?
Sure. That was a case where, again, parents, both parents, they were living together with their child, Ethan Crumbly was the name of the boy. And the Crumblies were both charged with a form of involuntary manslaughter. That is not a charge that we have in Wisconsin. We have reckless and negligent homicides. Involuntary manslaughter is a little bit of a different charge. But essentially, the allegation was that they were they ignored a potential danger to others, and that danger resulted in the death of others. And again, in that case, their son was alleged to be suffering from some pretty serious mental health issues, and they allowed him to have access to a firearm. They stored firearms in their home, but they were not kept in a gun safe. They did not have a trigger guard. And in fact, they had also gone out and bought a gun as a gift for their child, which he was allowed to use at a firing range under the supervision of his parent under Michigan law. But again, the gun was not stored in a safe way in the home, so he had access to it and used it in a school shooting.
So, John, now we've seen some isolated cases of parents being prosecuted. Do you see Michigan or elsewhere these cases setting a precedent? Do you expect to see parents prosecuted for this more frequently?
That does seem to be the trend when it involves school shootings. We've seen the case in Michigan. There's also a pending case in Florida, and now we have this case in Wisconsin. It is traditionally the criminal law has been limited. It limits its punishments to people who directly cause harm, right? And so it has been reluctant to say that other people who may have contributed in some way to a harm that occurs, holding them criminally responsible. And so this is a bit of an expansion of the criminal law. It seems to be limited at this point just to school shootings or incidents of mass violence. And so that might continue to be a limitation on it, but it is a sort of new approach to saying that other people who didn't pull the trigger, didn't use the firearm, that they too should face some type of criminal sanction for the acts of a minor.
Do you anticipate appeals courts or higher courts falling into line here, agreeing with punishing parents for their child's behavior up to the level of homicide?
So I think it's harder to argue that various homicide charges, like the one that was brought in Michigan, this involuntary manslaughter charge, I'm not sure if appellate courts will actually uphold those convictions. Those are homicide statutes where, again, traditionally, the person who is punished is the person who directly commits the homicide and not somebody who may have contributed in some way to the person being motivated to or being able to commit the homicide. The charges we have in Wisconsin are a little bit different because he hasn't been charged with a homicide. He's been charged with a firearms offense that he gave a gun to a child, someone under the age of 18, which is illegal to do. So that is, I would characterize that as a firearms offense. And then he's been charged with an offense that really addresses the care that you are required to provide to minors, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, which is a charge which has been on the books in Wisconsin and other states for many, many decades. And that has been upheld, that adults cannot do acts that encourage juveniles to commit crimes or enable juveniles to commit crimes. And so while some states are taking a more aggressive, I would say, approach to this in charging homicides, I think the charges here in Wisconsin will withstand scrutiny by an appellate judge.
One complication you have referenced before is hindsight bias. And would you mind explaining what that is and how it reflects in this case?
Sure. Hindsight bias is a psychological bias that people have, that when something bad happens, they tend to look back in hindsight and feel like they should have seen it coming, or they did see it coming, but didn't pay enough attention to the signs that were there. The classic example is that someone breaks up with someone, and the person who was broken up with looks back and says, "Oh, I should have seen it coming." In a case like this, with a school shooting, the tendency of a jury is going to be to think, well, the parents must have seen it coming, right? Hindsight bias says there must have been signs of this, because we're not comfortable with the idea that something this bad, this horrific, could just happen out of the blue without any advanced warning. And so I think that bias makes it a little bit easier for prosecutors to put these cases in front of a jury, and get a conviction.
Walk us through what is next in the legal process for the charges against Rupnow.
So the next process is going to happen later today. He's going to have an initial appearance in front of a judge, where the formal charges will be filed, which will contain factual allegations to support the charges. And that document will likely be publicly available for people to view. He will enter a plea of not guilty, and there will be a determination about his bail conditions, whether monetary bail should be set or other restrictions placed on his liberty. And after this, because these are felony charges, he would have a right to a preliminary hearing, and the discovery process would play out. I suspect there will be some litigation about statements he's made to police officers, because I think those will be a significant part of the allegations, statements that he made to the police, and some publicly, in the aftermath of the shooting.
John, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
John Gross, Clinical Associate Professor of Law at the UW Law School, with us to talk about yesterday's arrest of Jeffrey Rupnow, the father of the 15-year-old girl responsible for a mass shooting at a Madison school in December. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has the Speak Up, Speak Out program, encouraging students and adults to report when they observe children in crisis. They offer a free 24-hour tip line, 1-800-MY-SUSO1.